Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He We come before you with praise. We come to worship you. Say, Lord, I came to worship you. Say, I've come to praise you. Say, Lord, I thank you for your goodness in my life. I thank you, Lord, that you are good and your mercy endures forever. I've come to sing joyfully. I've come to lift my voice, lift my hands, and give praise to the God above all gods in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to praise you today. We thank you that you inhabit the praise of your people. We thank you that as we praise you, that your presence, your anointing will fill this building, and that your anointing will destroy every bondage. It will remove every burden. We thank you, Lord, today that you will do great mighty things. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody shout it, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Just put our hands together. Let's worship our God today.
Thank you. We worship you, Lord. God, we glorify you, and we lift you up, and we magnify this place. We thank you for your presence, that it would fall in this room, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for a fresh anointing in this place. God, I just glorify you for it.
Thank you.
I said, how many can say the Lord has been good to you? Come on, let's sing it out. Let's tell it. Tell it. other. We hail the power of Jesus' name. His name has been high exalted above every other name. And the Bible says that the mention of His name, every knee must bow and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord. Can you say Jesus is Lord today?
Jesus is Lord!
And we sang the song, I will call upon the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. Very often, the Lord is waiting, wanting to help us, but very often we don't call on Him. We try to figure out our problems on our own. I don't want to bother God with this, you know. I'll figure this out by myself. And God's waiting. Just call on me. Look to me. So today, we want to pray for anyone here this morning that needs prayer. If you're facing something, you don't know what to do, you're facing a situation and you don't see the way out, whatever it may be, I want you to know that the Lord has a way out. And if you'll just call on Him and look to Him, He will hear and He will answer. So if you need prayer this morning, and I know there's people here that are facing situations, and there's people that we want to pray with you. We want to stand together in faith and believe God and trust God with you. We are a family. And when one person is hurting, we all hurt. And so if you need prayer this morning, please don't be shy. There's no reason to be shy because you are among people who just love you and care for you and want the best for you. So if you need prayer this morning, I want to ask you to step out into the aisle, to just move out into the aisle so we know you need prayer. And then I want to ask leaders from our church to go over to those folks and I want you to pray with them. Just ask them what do you want the Lord to do for you and just pray. You don't have to tell your whole life story. Okay? Just say, this is what I need the Lord to do for me. And then let's just pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask the Father to do that. So if you need prayer, step out right now. Folks, gather around them. I want you to pray and believe God with them. Father, I thank you. Natalie, I just thank you for everything you've done, Lord. You've been so good, Lord. I thank you for helping her to pass the flight test, Father. I thank you for opening doors for her to get this job with American Airlines. I thank you, Lord, for giving her favor with her immigration application. And I just thank you, Lord, that you have given her favor. And I thank you, Lord, that immigration will be approved tomorrow. I just thank you, Lord, that you are with her. No weapon formed against her can ever prosper. Thank you that you're the God who supplies all of her needs. And we call upon you today, Father. We thank you for giving Natalie favor. We thank you for causing this immigration to be approved, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you today. We thank you for meeting every need. We thank you, Lord. You said, call upon me, I'll answer you. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for doing miracles. You're the God of miracles. Thank you for supplying for your people. Thank you for delivering, for healing people today, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. Amen. Praise God. Stretch your hands toward these folks and just believe God with us. Praise God. Won't you turn to a couple of people and greet them, smile at them, tell them you're glad to see them today. I'll take this opportunity before we, what happens is we pass a clipboard by during service. Any of you being here any length of time notice that, and it just helps us, you know, the Bible talks about the pastor as the shepherd and the congregation as the sheep, and it says we've got to keep a watch over our flock, right? So it helps us know who's here and who's not here, and maybe somebody didn't come and they weren't feeling well or something went wrong, and helps us to be able to get in touch with them. Anyway, when that clipboard comes by, if you don't get text messages from us, please make sure your cell phone number is correct. I'm telling you that for a personal reason, because we have a ladies' meeting on Friday night. We have a ladies' night. Amen. That'd be so good. And I want to send you the details because we need to give you the address. And just maybe remind you of the time and what have you. So please make sure that your correct phone number is on there. And we're going to have such a good time. I've been planning with a few of the ladies, and we've got a lot of fun planned and some ministry. So please set that date aside to be there. There's a lot of amazing women in the church, and it's good to get to know people with like faith. Amen? Amen. So thank you for coming on Friday night.
Praise God. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
See you.
Great to be in God's house today.
Amen.
We welcome you. What a great time of worship this morning. I don't know about you, but man, you know, we come to church to meet with God.
Yes.
We come to church to connect with Him. Not that we don't connect with the Lord every day, but I'm talking about as a church in a corporate setting. When we gather together and when you worship, man, the worship today was amazing. I just felt God's presence all over me. And are you ready for God's word? I want to share God's word with you this morning. You know, part of the reason we come to church, first we come to worship God. We come to give to Him. And now we're going to hear God's word. We're going to be instructed in the word of God. Are you ready?
Yes.
Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Because let me tell you, I've got a doozy today. You know what a doozy is? Have you ever heard that term? I'm telling you, you better get ready because double feature. When I came in this morning, Cynthia, wave Cynthia, that pretty lady right there with a big smile. She was sitting over there. I went over, she was here early. She's staying in, now you're not in the hotel, you're working on one of the ships here, right? And she's from Bahamas. And she went to the hotel and she asked them, someone told you about there's a church here. Did someone mention there's a church here? Right? And so you went to the hotel and you asked them, what time's the service? And they told her 7 a.m. So she's down here at 7 a.m. waiting for church. And you still got that big smile. And then you went and had some breakfast, came on back. I came in about 9:30. This man, thank you for being here. I said to Cynthia, God must want you to be here this morning. Right? Praise God. Well, let's pray before we get into God's Word. Lord, we thank you that you are good, Lord. We thank you for your Word today. And Lord, I thank you that you help me and you anoint me as I speak your Word. I thank you that you carry your Word by your anointing to every person's heart, to their mind, bringing faith, removing doubt, unbelief, bringing understanding, revelation, dispelling confusion. Lord, we give you the praise for everything said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I really felt impressed of the Lord to speak to you about standing against the financial storm. We all face storms at times. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 24, he said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. So the Bible says when we hear God's word and we do what it says, we are, that's wise, we're being wise. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and it beat on the house and it didn't fall because it was founded on a rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, the point is that the storms of life come to everybody. Those who are building their life on the Word of God, when you do what God says, you're building your life on the rock. When you hear God's Word but you don't do it, you're building your life on the sand. But the storm comes to everybody. No matter how spiritual you are, no matter how strong your faith is, you are going to face storms in your life. Even Jesus faced storms in his life. And the way to stand against and overcome the storm is, number one, is to know what God's Word says. And number two is to do what God's Word says.
Amen.
Step one, know what God's Word says. Step two, do what God's Word says. And what will happen? You build your life on the rock. When the storms come, your house will stand. And I'm going to talk about standing against the storm of financial lack. Because this is a storm that comes to us all. Maybe you're facing that storm right now. How can you overcome that storm? You must know what God's Word says. And you must believe and do what God's Word says. Then you will withstand that storm. You'll overcome that storm. Now, if you're going to overcome that financial storm, I want to share with you eight things this morning. Eight things you've got to do, you've got to know. Number one, you've got to realize where lack comes from. You've got to realize that lack does not come from God. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Who do you think the thief is? That's the enemy. That's the devil. He said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have abundant life. It's amazing how people mix that up. They think God came to steal, kill, and destroy, and the devil gives abundant life. It's the other way around. The enemy kills, steals, destroys. Anytime you see destruction, death, you know, lost. That's not God. Well, why would God do that? No, that's not God. How come you may have abundant life? That's what Jesus said. The Passion Bible says it like this. It says a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance. I like that. I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Jesus said, I've come to give you everything in abundance. How many of you know what everything means? How many of you know everything means everything? Because that's what everything means. I've come to give you everything in abundance. The devil wants to steal, but God wants to bless you abundantly. God didn't create you to live in lack. Lack is not from God. David wrote in Psalm 23, verse 1, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Yeah. Let me tell you, when God is your shepherd, and you're following Him, you will not live in lack. He provides for you. You've got to know, number one, that lack does not come from God. Lack comes from the enemy. Prosperity and blessing comes from God. Lack comes from the enemy. Blessing comes from God. Don't confuse the two. Because how are you going to stand against the storm of lack if you think God's behind it? If you think God's doing this, then how are you going to pray out? How are you going to pray to God? Why would you pray to God to bring you out of it if you think God's the one behind it? No, you've got to know this lack, this storm that I'm facing, this is not from God. This is the enemy. Are you with me? Number two, you've got to know that you are redeemed from lack. Galatians 3:13 declares, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, what is the curse of the law? The curse of the law was the punishment for breaking God's law and God's covenant and God's command. We read about it. I won't read the whole thing, but if you read the chapter, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, the whole chapter, it lists the blessings for obeying God's law, and it lists the curses for breaking it. It says in Deuteronomy 28, if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overwhelm you. And if you carry on reading, it says you'll be cursed in the town, in the city. You'll be cursed coming in and going out. Your crops will be cursed. Your herds will be cursed. Your flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go, you'll be cursed. You'll be oppressed. You'll be robbed continually. You will plant, but you'll harvest little. You know, it just goes on and on. It's just, let me tell you, you read all the curses, it ain't good. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 48, it says, you will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. That don't sound good. Right? That's the curse. Lack is a curse. Lack is not a blessing. Lack is a curse. And how many of you know we've all broken God's commandments? Anyone here never broken God's commandments? No, we've all broken God's commandments. But Jesus came and redeemed us and rescued us from that curse. So we do not have to live under the curse of lack. We have been redeemed from the curse. I've been rescued from the curse. I'm not under the curse now. I'm under God's blessing. You've got to know that poverty is a curse. One time I saw a picture of a monkey. And it said a caption, I've been rich and I've been poor. And rich is better. Now you would think if a monkey knew that Christians would understand that lack is not a blessing. Poverty is not a blessing. It's a curse. And we're redeemed from the curse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9 says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus was made poor so that we could become rich. Jesus redeemed us from poverty and lack by becoming poor for us. Now Jesus was, let me just clear one thing up. Jesus was not poor when he walked on the earth. Jesus did not live in poverty on the earth. Because some people got this idea Jesus was just so poor. You know, he didn't have a house. He grabbed some sheep off of some some laundry and just wrapped it around himself, and he just, you know, was always struggling. That's the idea they have of Jesus. But when you study it, you'll find Jesus actually had a staff of 12. Jesus had a treasurer or an accountant named Judas Iscariot, who was stealing out of the treasury for 3.5 years and nobody noticed. Jesus was so blessed that he provided for all of his staff of disciples. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus, the garment that he wore, it was the kind that were worn by kings and rich merchants. That's why when Jesus was hung on the cross, the Roman soldiers were gambling because they wanted Jesus' garment, because it was a very expensive garment. Jesus wasn't poor when he walked on the earth. He walked in abundance. I mean, how many poor people do you know that can take 5,000 people to lunch? Jesus was not poor. But when he went to the cross, that's when he took our poverty. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. When Jesus went to the cross, he took our sin, he took our sickness, he took our poverty, he took death, he took all of those things. Amen? Jesus did that so we don't have to. He redeemed us from sin, he redeemed us from sickness, he redeemed us from poverty, he redeemed us from fear, he redeemed us from death, he redeemed us from all these things. Number three, if you're going to overcome and stand against that financial storm, number three, you've got to believe that God wants to prosper you. You've got to believe God wants to prosper you. In 3 John verse 2 it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Notice that. "I wish above all things that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Now notice, financial prosperity is dependent upon spiritual prosperity. Because God said, I wish above all things that you prosper, just as your soul prospers. It says, just saying, it is God's will for me to prosper and increase. Psalm 35 verse 27 declares, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." The Passion Bible says, he delights in the prosperity of his servant. God delights in your prosperity. It makes him happy when you prosper. He has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Amen? You know, from the beginning of time, from Genesis, it has always been God's will to bless us and to prosper us and to increase us. Right back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the first instruction God gave to man, he said, God blessed them. And he said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, take authority. God's first instruction was prosper, increase. That is God's will, family. Amen? Amen. When God made a covenant with Abraham, he appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And in verse number 2, he said to him, "I will bless you. I will bless you. If you will serve me, I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing." God said, "Abraham, I want to make a covenant with you. If you'll enter into a covenant with me, if you'll walk uprightly before me, if you'll follow me, I will bless you." Let me tell you, when God puts his blessing on your life, you stop to prosper. Because Proverbs 10:22 says this, "The blessing of the Lord makes one poor." No. Is that what it says?
No.
Did I read it wrong?
Yes.
What does it say? "The blessing of the Lord makes one
rich.
And he adds no sorrow with it." Are you with me?
Yes.
You see, there's another way of getting rich in the world. And that involves standing on people, climbing your way to the top. There's a lot of sorrow involved.
Yeah.
But God says, "The blessing of the Lord makes you rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." God's blessing on Abraham caused Abraham to prosper. The Bible says in Genesis 13 verse 2 that Abraham was very rich. And just in case you wondered how he was rich in silver and in gold and in livestock. It says that he was financially, he was very rich. How did Abraham become very rich? God's Abraham's servant told us how it happened in Genesis chapter 24. In verse number 35, he said, "The Lord has blessed my master And he has become a wealthy man. The Lord has given him flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle, a fortune in silver and gold, and many male and female servants and camels and donkeys. He said, the Lord has made my master wealthy.
Yeah.
Right? Who did it? God did it. It was God's blessing on Abraham that caused him to prosper. Are you still here? And do you know that same blessing is on you? Galatians 3 verse 14. Now in Galatians 3:13, we read it a little while ago, it said Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law and became a curse for us. The next verse says, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing He promised Abraham. So if Abraham was blessed by God and that caused him to prosper, the Bible says now Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the same blessing God put on Abraham can now come upon us.
Amen.
Are you with me? And let me tell you, all through the Bible, you'll see where God's blessing caused His people to prosper. Even in times of famine. I mean, last week we spoke about Abraham's son Isaac. Remember, God prospered Isaac in a famine. Isaac wanted to move over to Egypt to get away from the famine. We looked at this last week. Can anyone remember back that far? I know it's a long time, 7 days ago. But last week we spoke about Isaac. And he was living in Gerar, where the Philistines were. And he wanted to move to Egypt because of the famine. But God said, no, I want you to stay in Gerar because I'm going to bless you there. And we saw where Isaac sowed during a time of famine. And he reaped 100 times as much in the same year. And the Bible says he kept on prospering until he became so wealthy that the Philistines were jealous of him. They began to envy him. God prospered him in the midst of a famine. God can prosper you, family, in regardless of your surroundings, your circumstance, where you're living, the economy. The Bible says in Psalm 37 in verse 18, the blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. It says in times of disaster they will not wither, and in days of famine they will enjoy plenty. God said, you can enjoy plenty even when everybody else is in famine, because my blessing on you will cause you to prosper wherever you are.
Amen.
Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
God prospered Abraham. God prospered Isaac. God prospered Isaac's son. How many of you know who Isaac's son was?
Jacob.
God prospered Jacob. Remember Jacob and Esau, and you know, he wanted the firstborn blessing. Remember that story?
Yes. Yeah.
And he went to go work for him, to go flee, because his brother Esau wanted to kill him, and he got the firstborn blessing, and he went to go work for his uncle Laban. His uncle Laban was very unfair to him. He worked for him for 20 years. His uncle decreased his wages 10 times over 20 years. He kept decreasing his wages. But Jacob had God's blessing. And God gave him an idea. And he asked his uncle. He said, for all these years I've worked for you, 20 years. He said, I would like to keep all the speckled and spotted sheep as my 20 years of, as compensation for 20 years of work. And so Laban agreed, because he looked, he saw there's not very many speckled and spotted sheep. So he had a great idea. But Jacob cut the bark from the trees, and he put them into the watering troughs. And when the sheep came to drink, they would stare at them. And they gave birth to speckled and spotted lambs. I don't know how that happened. All I know is that it did. And that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 43, as a result, Jacob became very wealthy with large flocks of sheep and goats and female male servants, many camels, many donkeys. Throughout the scripture, listen, I can stand here sitting literally for hours. Now I'm not going to, so relax. But I can stand here for hours and tell you people in the Bible that were blessed because of that prospered because of the blessing of God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, David, Solomon. I mean, it goes on and on and on. The blessing of God made people prosper. Can we expect God to prosper us today?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. The Bible says we got a better covenant.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6 declares that Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. Say, I've got a better covenant with better promises. So if God prospered them under the old covenant like that, and we've got a better covenant with better promises, then surely we can still expect God to prosper us today. Right? It's crazy. If God prospered them under the old covenant, and people say, well, you know, to be a Christian now you've got to be poor, I'd rather go back to the old covenant then. But that's not true. Our covenant is better. Better promises. You've got to believe God wants to prosper you. You've got to believe lack does not come from God. God wants to bless me and prosper. Number four, if you're going to stand against that financial storm, number four, you've got to bind lack and loose abundance. You say, Pastor Steve, what are you talking about? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, in verse number 18, he said, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the Passion Bible says it like this. Receive this truth. Receive this truth. Because a lot of people don't receive what I'm about to tell you now. A lot of people don't receive it. They say, well, God's in control. If God wants to do it, he'll do it. If he doesn't, then he won't. Whatever the Lord wants. No, receive this truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered to be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you release on earth will be considered to be released in heaven. So what are you releasing in your life with your words? And what are you binding in your life and forbidding with your words? See, Jesus is talking about using our authority. God created you to live with authority. But Adam committed high treason against God, and he gave that authority over to the devil. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 that Satan is the god of this world. It doesn't mean that Satan is the creator of the world. It just means that Satan right now is operating and controlling things in the world. That's why the world's in the mess that it's in. Are you with me? But Jesus came to the earth, and the Bible says he triumphed over the enemy. And he rose from the dead with all authority. And immediately he delegated that authority to us, the church believers. And he said, you can cast out the devil in my name. You can cast out demons in my name. In Ephesians 6 verse 12, it says this, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Do you know that very often that financial challenge you're facing, the enemy is behind it? Your struggle is not with flesh and blood. Principalities and spiritual forces of evil that come to attack and steal and kill and destroy. The devil's our enemy. And he's trying to steal from us. But we've got authority over him. The Bible says in James 4 verse 7, it says, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. The devil's like a bully. I found out bullies usually are people, you stand up to them, they run away. The devil's the biggest bully you ever met. And you've got to stand up to him in the name of Jesus. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. You're going to say, I bind this financial attack in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every attack, every financial attack against me. I bind you and I loose the abundance. I loose the angels of God to go and fight on my behalf. I release the angel, the ministering spirit, to go and bring the money I need. You say, Pastor Steve, that sounds crazy. Yeah, you're going to hear a lot of things sound crazy in this church, but just hang around. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says this. What role then do the angels have? The angels are spirit messengers sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved. Do you know that angels are here to serve you? I said, do you know that angels are messengers of God sent to serve you? So you've got to bind the enemy. You've got to say, Satan, take your hands off my money. And you've got to say, angels, in the name of Jesus, go and bring that money I need to me. Go and I release abundance. I bind lack. I release abundance. Thank you, angels of God, are bringing money, bringing opportunity, bringing contact to me. You've got to speak to that mountain, that storm of lack. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, assuredly I say to you, whoever, thank God this works for whoever. Whoever believes, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Jesus said you're going to speak to that mountain.
Right.
How many of you know sometimes when you are facing a financial challenge, it's like a mountain.
Yes.
It seems like a mountain.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, speak to the mountain.
Right.
Don't speak about the mountain. Don't talk about it. Talk to it.
Amen.
Whatever you bind will be built. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. Whatever you release will be released. You've got to, with your words, I thank you for abundance that's headed my way. I resist, I stand against every attack of the enemy. Satan, I bind you. Take your hands off my finances in the name of Jesus. Maybe you've got a business deal. And things are happening to try and make you lose the deal. You've got to take your authority, devil. You take your hands off this deal in the name of Jesus. I thank you. I'm surrounded with favor. I have God's favor. I release abundance. I speak to this mountain of lack. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. Now that may sound crazy, but that's what the Word of God says. And I happen to believe what God says is true.
Amen.
Amen. So, you've got to know lack doesn't come from God. You've got to know you're redeemed from that. You've got to believe God wants you to prosper. You've got to bind that lack and loose abundance with your words. And then number five, keep God first.
Amen.
Always keep God first. The first commandment that God gave to Moses, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, he said, you must not have any other God but me. God wants to be uno, numero, uno. He wants to be numero, uno.
Amen.
He wants to be number one. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want you to put anything before him. He wants to be first in your life. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. The contemporary English version says it like this, more than anything else, put God's word first and do what he wants. And then the other things will be yours as well. If you look just a few verses before, in that same chapter, in verse 24, Jesus said this, how could you worship two gods at the same time? You will have to hate one and love the other. Or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't worship the true God while enslaved to the god of money. Here's my question. What God are you serving? What God is first in your life? Is the Lord first in your life or is money first in your life? Because you can't serve God and money at the same time. You've got to determine what comes first. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. God doesn't want you to put anything before him. He doesn't want you to put money before him. And let me tell you, that's why tithing is so important. Because tithing is one way that you show God you are first in my life. Deuteronomy 14 verse 23 declares the purpose of tithing. What's the reason for tithing, Pastor Steve? It's to teach you to always put God first in your life. Do you know there's people that argue against tithing? It's not for today. Blah, 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 blah. They really miss the point. Because the point is, tithing is one of the best ways of demonstrating God is first. Because Jesus said, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is.
Amen.
I can tell you what's important in your life. Just look at your checkbook and we'll see what's important to you. Because where you spend your money, that's what matters to you.
Amen.
Preaching good, Pastor Steve. Keep on going. One of the greatest purposes of tithing, in fact, the greatest. Well, Pastor Steve, we've got to tithe, we've got to pay the bills of the church. Yeah, I understand. But that's not the main reason of tithing. The main reason of tithing is to keep your heart right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Tithing is to show God's first in my life. And tithing also opens the windows of heaven over my life. So God can pour blessing. The scripture says in Malachi 3 verse 8, should people cheat God? Yet you've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When do we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings that are due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. And I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it! Put me to the test. Well, I can tell you, I put him to the test.
Amen.
I tried it. I've been doing this for 38 years, and I can tell you something now, or 37, that it works.
Amen.
How many of you can say it works?
It works.
Anybody?
It works.
If you ain't got your hand up, that's because you ain't tried it yet. You cannot disobey God and rob and steal and cheat from God and then pray, Lord, bless me. Lord, please prosper me. Lord, please bless me. Lord, please prosper me. Every Sunday before service, we have people that pray. And Pam leads that prayer meeting. They pray from 9:15 to 9:45. They pray for you. They pray for the service. They pray for the city. And most, just about every week, the Lord shows them, gives them visions. And last week, Pam had a vision. And she spoke to me after the service. And she told me that in the vision, I may get this a bit wrong, but you saw people, and that there were bags of blessings. Tell me. There was a path.
There was a cargo net.
There was a cargo net.
Between the path and the future.
Okay, so they walk in the path, and you saw this cargo net. In the path, right? And it was full of things.
And as they would walk, they were trying to walk their destiny, but they kept falling through the holes. And they're not applying God's principles.
They kept falling through the holes.
And they struggled so much that they got so tired that they didn't want to pursue their destiny. They just got tired.
Okay. So the vision you had, you saw people, there was a path in front of them, there was a big cargo net, but they kept falling through the holes because they weren't following and obeying what God was telling them to do. When you told me that vision, the Lord reminded me of this scripture that I'm going to share with you now. In Haggai chapter 1, in verse number 1, it says, on August 29th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave a message to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. Now remember, I spoke about this last week. If you were here last week, I spoke about Zerubbabel rebuilding God's temple.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
And it says, this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. And the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. And he said, why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what is happening to you. You've planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you are not satisfied. You drink, but you are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what is happening to you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of heaven's armies, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. Now listen to me. If you're not interested in building God's house, if you switch off when I start talking about that our new building, oh, here he goes again. If you've got no interest in that, then you cannot expect God to bless your house. That's what it says. The reason why you're just struggling, it's like putting your wages in pocket in pockets with holes in them. I did that one time. I never knew my pocket had a hole. And I put $50 in and it was gone. So as smart as I am, how do you know the next time I put another 50 in that? No, I'm smarter than that. I fixed the hole before I put more money in there. Well, listen, that's what it's like. If we're not honoring God, when you're passionate about God's house, when you're seeking first the kingdom of God, then God will build your house. Then all the things you need and desire will be added unto you. Because you're demonstrating God, you are first in my life. Amen?
Amen.
So keep God first. Number six, obey God's instructions. The scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 28, it says, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all his commandments, which I'm commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city. You will be blessed in the country. You'll be blessed in the produce of your ground, the increase of your earth, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket, and blessed shall be your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will conquer your enemies, will rise against you. They'll be defeated before your face. They'll come out against you one way. They'll flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command his blessing on you in your storehouse and in all which you set your hand to. And he will bless all the work of the land in which the Lord your God is giving you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. And he'll bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you a head and not the tail. And you shall be above and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and you are careful to observe them. Now, obeying God's voice means obeying what God has said in his word. When you obey what God says in his word, you're obeying his voice. It also means obeying what the Lord speaks down here on the inside, and the instruction he gives you down here in your spirit means obeying that too.
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Like when I was 17 years old, we came back from visiting the United States with my parents, my mom and dad, all came over to America. And I was 17. I think I was in Bible school at the time.
Yeah.
I was in Bible school. And I'd seen the movie Rocky 3. And in the beginning of the movie, Sylvester Stallone has this long camel overcoat, double-breasted overcoat. Oh, man, I like that. I want to get one of those overcoats, man. So we came over to the States and we went to Burlington Coat Factory, I think it was, and I found this coat. Man, I love this coat. Took it back home and the Lord said, give it to your cousin. Give it to your cousin. Get behind me, Satan. I knew it was God. For some reason that coat meant a lot to me. And when he said, give it away, it wasn't that easy to do, but I did. And I can tell you, God has blessed me with plenty of clothes since then.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isaiah 1 verse 19 says this. It says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, I'll make you rich. If you only obey, I'll make you rich. Obedience releases God's blessings. If you are putting God first, if you're obeying God, let me tell you, when God is first, you will tithe faithfully on all your income. Every dollar you get, when God is first and you obey Him, you will tithe on all your income. Number seven. I'm almost done. I've got one more after this. Are you getting anything out of this morning?
Hang on.
The best is yet to come. Number seven. Be a generous giver. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, I'm reading the Passion Bible. In Luke 6:38, he said, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make room for more, abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. That is powerful, right? Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement that God returns it to you.
Amen.
If you give to God using a little thimble, here you go, Lord. Then God says, let me get the thimble out. Here you go, son. If you give to God using a bucket, here you go, Lord. Lord says, okay, and get the bucket. Here you go, son. If you give to God using a big 44-gallon drum, and God gets out the 44-gallon drum. If you give to God using a dump truck, God says, get the dump trucks. You determine. Your generosity determines how it's given back to you. Solomon was the richest and the wisest man who ever lived. And he said this. In Proverbs 11, verse 24, he said, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and the one who waters others will be watered himself. The New Living Translation says it like this. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And one more translation, the Passion. It says, generosity brings prosperity, but withholding from charity brings poverty. The generous will prosper. And what does it say? That those who love to bless others will have blessings heaped on them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 declares, a stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Now when you give, you are sowing seed. And God will multiply what you sow. He will multiply it back to you as a harvest.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10, it goes on to say, this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need, plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow. So here's the thing, man. God, first of all, gives you the seed. Because everything you have, God gave you. Everything you have, God gave you. Every good gift comes down from above. So God gives you the seed. Then when you give and you sow, God multiplies more back to you.
Great deal.
And someone said, Pastor Steve, if I'm tithing, does that mean I'm generous? Does tithing mean you're generous? Well, not really, because the Bible says the tithe belongs to God. When I tithe, I return to God what belongs to Him. Leviticus 27 verse 30 says, it says a tithe of everything from the land, with the grain, from the soil, or the fruit, from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The tithe actually belongs to God. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
If I walked up to you today and said, yeah, the Lord told me I want to bless you. That's not real. I want to bless you with $100. Here's $100. I want to bless you with $100. Now, Angie, my sister, she's got $10 that belongs to God in her bag. Because the tithe belongs to God. So when she comes to church, she says, I want to bring the tithe into the stores. I want to honor God. Here's the Lord's tithe. That what she's returning, what belongs to Him. So it doesn't really make you generous to give something to someone that already belongs to them. Generosity is what you give from the 90% that belongs to you. Generosity is defined in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 1. It says this, beloved ones, we must tell you about the grace that God poured out upon the churches of Macedonia. He said, for even during a season of severe difficulty and tremendous suffering, they became even more filled with joy. From the depths of their extreme poverty, superabundant joy overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity. Now, let me tell you what extravagant generosity is. It's going to tell us. This is extravagant generosity. This is like way and beyond. I can verify that they spontaneously gave not only according to their means, but far beyond what they could afford. They actually begged us for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of giving. Do you know that giving is a privilege?
Amen.
Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. It is a privilege. We thank you for the privilege of giving to God's holy people who are living in poverty. They exceeded our expectations by first dedicating themselves fully to the Lord and then to us according to God's pleasure. It says, that is why we appeal to Titus, since he was the one who got you started and encouraged you to give so that he could help you complete this generous undertaking on your behalf. He said, you do well and you excel in every respect. In unstoppable faith, I like that, unstoppable faith. There's a good sermon I'm going to preach, unstoppable faith. In powerful preaching, in revelation knowledge, in your passionate devotion, and in sharing the love we have shown you. So make sure, tell your neighbor, make sure, make sure, make sure what? Make sure that you excel in grace-filled generosity. Now, this scripture, are you still here this morning? Wakey, wakey. This scripture makes me think about someone in this church. Now, there's many people in this church that are generous and give us. But this person that I'm talking about is not necessarily, you know, not a millionaire. He wouldn't want me to tell you. I'm not going to tell you his name because he wouldn't want me to say any of this. In fact, this person, when they give, he does it anonymously. He puts cash in the envelope and thinks, I don't know, but I know. This person has given $25,000 to our new building. How did he do that? Because he gave the money that he had saved to buy a brand new truck. He has a truck that he's owned for 10 years, and he had money saved to buy a new truck. But he decided, instead of buying himself a new truck, he was going to give that money to the house of God. Now that is extravagant generosity.
Amen.
That is extravagant generosity. And that amazes me. When someone says, because you're not talking about someone who's a multimillionaire can just write a check and, you know, give you $25,000. You've got millions. But this is someone that's just, you know, regular, works a job, and had this money saved and said, I'm going to give this to the house of God. Folks, listen. Now you're talking about generosity. I never asked him to do that. I would never ask anyone to do that. But I can tell you right now, generosity brings prosperity and provision. And I believe that God is going to provide an awesome truck for that person. Better than what they would have even chosen themselves. I'm praying it's a truck with all the bells and whistles, man. When it comes, I want to pull it right out front here. Let me tell you, generosity. The Bible says the generous will be made rich. The generous will prosper. God delights in generosity. It gets his attention. Are you with me? I think about the widow in 1 Kings 17 that was in a famine. And all she had was a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. She was going to make a meal for herself and for her son. Then they were going to eat it. Then they were going to die because there was nothing left. And the prophet Elijah comes to town. And he says to the lady, first make me a cake. Before you make one for yourself, you say, first make it for me. And the Bible says that when she did, when she made the cake and gave it to the prophet, the man of God, God supernaturally supplied, multiplied the flour and the oil. And it lasted for 3.5 years until the famine was broken. Number eight, and I'm going to close with this. Number eight, if you're going to stand against that financial storm, overcome that financial storm, you must meditate on and declare prosperity scriptures, prosperity promises. Joshua 1 verse 8 says this, this book of the law shall not depart from your, from where? Your mouth. That means you've got to keep on saying what God says. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Then you may observe to do. Then we come back to hearing God's word and doing God's word. You must observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. When you meditate in God's word, when you meditate on God's promises, when you say and declare what God says, when you do what God says, you make your way prosperous, and you make your way successful. On Wednesday, this Wednesday, Pastor Jill told me on Monday, the offering, the money, the tithes, the offerings that came in on Sunday is not going to cover the checks. Checks are going to be sent back. And so we knew it. So Wednesday, we had our staff checks went back. Our rent check on this hotel went back. Some other things went back, right? And because what has happened, I understand, we're in a challenge. Because we are building a new building, or not building, we're renovating a building. And we're still operating everything and all the bills that we have being at the hotel. So it's like, you know, it's like we're on two fronts here. And some folks have been given to the building. What they've been doing is giving their tithes to the building and not to the church. So we didn't have enough. And so what did I do? I got into my study on Wednesday. And I just prayed. About 2 hours, just prayed in the Spirit. Then I got out all the scriptures. I got this message and preached it to myself. I got out the scriptures and I began to meditate and speak and declare the scriptures over me.
Amen.
I began to declare, my God shall supply all.
Amen.
According to His riches in glory. I began to declare, thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open above me. You pouring blessings out upon me, Father. Just begin to declare. That night, at Connect Group, someone wrote a check for $7,000, which was more than what we needed. And we were able to phone everyone and say, put your check through, it's going to be fine. What I'm sharing with you today is what I live by.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to share with you some scriptures that you can jot down to meditate on and declare over your life. There's lots. There's over 2,000 scriptures on prosperity. But I'm going to give you a few. Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad, who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So here's what you say. Say this. Do we have it up on the screen? It should be up on the screen. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
There you go.
I lack nothing.
I'm a servant of God who favors his righteous cause. Therefore God has pleasure in my prosperity. Say, it pleases God to prosper me. Jesus became poor so that I could become rich. Say, I am rich in the name of Jesus. Here's another scripture. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say this. Say, I have no lack because my God supplies all my needs. Therefore I confess, I have all the money that I need. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Heaven become a curse for us. But the blessing of Abraham may come upon us. And the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. He has no sorrow with it. So say this, say, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of poverty. Say, for poverty, he's given me wealth. Abraham's blessings are mine. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. Say, I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Say, everything I put my hand to, it prospers. Blessings overtaking me. The blessing of the Lord is on my life. And he is making me rich. Now listen, when you preach like this, I am amazed that some people don't like it. Some people get mad. But family, I want you to see everything that I've said to you today, I've given you scripture and verse for everything I said. I'm not giving you my opinion. See, that's the problem. Too many churches are giving you their opinion. My opinion is worthless. I mean, not worthless, but you don't hear my opinion. I'm here to tell you what God says.
That's right.
Malachi 3 verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now, and listen to the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, that there will not be room enough for the sinner. Say this, I'm a tither. Therefore the windows of heaven are open above me. God is pouring blessing upon me. Because I support God's kingdom. By tithing and giving. I declare God has pleasure in my prosperity. Therefore, say it, I'm believing God for jobs and better jobs, for raises and bonuses, for sales, commissions, benefits, rebates, returns, favorable settlements, checks in the mail, estates and inheritances, gifts and surprises, finding money, my bills paid off, interest and income, blessings and increase. Say thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs. But I have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Luke 6:38. And here's what I did Wednesday. I got these scriptures out and I read them. And then I said them. And then I declared them. Given, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. But with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Proverbs 11, 25. The generous soul will be made rich. Say this, I have given, and it is given back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. People are giving to me. With the measure I give, is measured back to me. I sow bountifully. Therefore, I am reaping bountifully. Psalm 112. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Say, I delight greatly in God's commands. Say, therefore, wealth and riches are in my house. My descendants will be mighty on the earth. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is for your fathers. Proverbs 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amen.
Amen.
Move on from me, Tasha. Say this. Say, God gives me power to get wealth, because I'm obeying his voice. Say, blessings are coming upon me. Say, blessings are chasing after me. Say, money cometh to me in Jesus' name. I'm a money magnet. See, the reason I say that is because most people, you know what they say? Money really goes, man. I don't know where it goes, but it just goes. They walk around saying, money goes, money goes, money goes. I say, money comes, money comes, money comes. Money's coming, man. Money cometh. I'm not walking around, money goes. I don't know where it goes. I'll tell you what, but it just goes. No, money comes. Say, I'm debt free. All my needs are met. I have plenty. I'm prosperous. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I'm being promoted. I'm increasing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm coming out of this financial storm. Thank you, Lord. You take what they're living in there from my heart. You're using it for my good. Thank you, Lord. You're meeting all. do. That's what I'm telling you. Oh my goodness, you'll see amazing things begin to happen. Supernatural things. If you'll just keep confessing God's word, acting like it's true, meditating on His promises, I believe, family, I declare, you'll stand against every financial storm, you will rule over financial lack, and God will supply all your needs in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it today? Yes. Did you get something out of this today? Come on, give God thanks and praise. Amen. Thank God. Praise God. Building my faith there. That's right. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, this week, it's a journey of faith every week with our new building. I contacted Chris. Bert said to me, we're going to meet with the city. They want us to put in fire sprinklers. I don't do that. They never said that before. Oh, they can change their mind like that. Oh, my goodness. How much are fire sprinklers? $52,000. So we had a meeting with the city Tuesday with our contractor, our architect, and here's the good news. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your faith. Because instead of having to put sprinklers in, the city has agreed that we're going to put what is called a 2-hour firewall between the lobby and the sanctuary, and between the first floor and the second floor. A 2-hour firewall is double drywall. So you've got two layers of drywall. So we're doing that instead of $52,000. I want you to know that I'm hands-on this thing every step of the way. We got a quote on electrics for $40,000. But the Lord is bringing us people. Kurt over there is an electrician. He volunteered this week, 20 hours, worked 20 hours this week. We've got three electricians. He's the only one working free, but they're working reduced, like, you know, $20 an hour instead of 50 or 60. So we're going to get this done. But I mean, on Friday, I had to tell Chris, we've got to stop. We don't have any money to pay you. We've got to stop. I could go a lot faster. I could get this done if we had all the money at one time. We need about $70,000 to finish everything. We've got to put the ceilings in. We've got to put the drywall. We've got to put the floors. We've got to finish the electrics. And let me tell you, it's a miracle. I sat back last night. I was lying in bed. And I said to George, who would have thought? The Girl Scouts were in that building from the time it opened for 15 years. Then all of a sudden, they decided they're moving down south. Right at the time that we need a building. After 15 years of being in that building, they decided we're going south. I believe that was the Lord.
Yeah.
Joe Siegel calls me up. I've got a building I want to sell you. I believe that was the Lord. Listen, I didn't go looking for this. God brought it to us. And I said to Joe, God must believe we can do it, because He wouldn't have made the opportunity if we couldn't do it. So all the money we need, God's got it. And a lot of the money we need is sitting right now in your pocket. We've got to get it from your pocket into the house of God. It's all here. Are you with me?
Yes.
We're like, Lord, supply, Lord, supply, Lord, supply. Meanwhile, it's in our pocket. So I am, you know, when we look back at this, I'm going to be like, oh my goodness me. Because when you think about taking this on, the size church that we are, taking this on, it really is enough. But let me tell you what's going to happen. I know right now, I'm kind of, you know, still got that storm. I'm still standing against it. But the time's going to come when we move in that building. I believe our church is going to really start growing again. And I believe we'll have a whole lot of new people. And the time's going to come when we will not have to be talking about this every week. We'll have so much money. In fact, I'm looking for, there's going to be a day where I'm going to stand up and say, listen, folks, we're not doing an offering today. We don't need it. Praise God. I'm looking forward to that. Amen? So praise God. Thank you. everyone who's given. I want you to know we appreciate every dollar. We appreciate every sacrifice. And we are using every dime to the maximum. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that it is your will and it is your desire to prosper us, to bless us, to always be in your will, Lord. You wish above all things that we may prosper, that we may be in health, even as our soul prospers. Lord, I thank you for blessing and prospering people in this church, people who have given, people who have sacrificed. I thank you, Lord, that you see every sacrifice, you see every giver. And I thank you for blessing, increasing, doing supernatural things. I thank you, Lord, for providing for your people and providing for your house, for providing for this new building. I thank you, Lord, that all things are possible with you. All things are possible to him who believes. And Lord, we believe. We believe that this building will be done, will be completed. We believe, Lord, that you have great things in the future for this church. We thank you, Father, that it's not over. We thank you, Lord, that what you have called us to do, we believe will be accomplished in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, we're going to receive the offering right now, then I'm going to close in prayer in a moment. But I'm going to ask you this morning to really consider in your heart what you are able to do. God doesn't expect us to do any more than we're able to do. But I'm asking you this morning to consider, what is your part? We trust in God. Lord, thank you for supply. About $80,000 to finish this building out. To finish the renovations. In Jesus' name. Now, remember that when you give, the black envelope that says Christian Family Church, that's where we put our tithe. We tithe into the storehouse where we receive our spiritual food. That's the black envelope. And if you're giving to the building, the new building, that's the red envelope, Ascend Church. We'll be launching Ascend Church in 7 weeks' time. I am believing we'll be in there by July 1st.
Amen.
How many of you believe we could be in there by July 1st? You know, it's amazing. We had this hotel, we had this room booked for May. Because I was hoping to be in by June, but I don't think that's not going to happen. So we had a book for May. And then they said, so we wanted to book June provisionally. And they said, well, in June, this room is booked for 2 days. Two of those Sundays. Two Sundays are free and two are booked. So you'd have to go up to the ballroom. And I didn't really want to go to the ballroom because it's $3,000 to use the ballroom. And it's $1,000 to use this room. So we didn't even ask the hotel. That they sent us the new contract for June, and they have given us the ballroom for the same price as we got here, $1,000. I thought that was a blessing. I think that's favor. So for the next, we've got 7 weeks. Rest of May, and the rest of June, and all of June. And I'm believing by July 1st, I want to be in our ballroom.
Amen.
Will you agree with me in Jesus' name?
Amen.
By July 1st, I want to be in that ballroom. So we got 7 more weeks. And we can get it done in 7 weeks. Just give me the money, we'll do it. I'll get it done in 2 weeks, man. Give me the 70,000, we'll get it done in 2 weeks. Praise God. Are you ready to give this morning? Because if you're not ready to give after that sermon, then there's nothing more I'm going to be able to say, right? Does that inspire you this morning? Does that build your faith this morning? Well, I want you to take that offering in your hand. We're gonna receive the offering this morning. Ushers, are you ready?
Yeah.
Is everybody ready? Anyone still need more time? Let's pray before you do. Lord, I thank you for every giver. I thank you for every tither. I thank you for the generosity of the people in this church, Lord. Your word says that you want us to excel in giving, and Lord, this church excels in the area of giving. And I thank you for blessing every giver. I thank you, Lord, that as we give, you said you would cause people to give back to us. But not what we gave, but good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hundredfold blessing. I thank you, Lord, for just supernatural blessing, provision, increase, business ideas, connections, open doors, supernatural favor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Ushers, I believe we're ready now. Go right ahead and receive the offering. And Jill, you already mentioned about ladies' night, right? Now, I think some of the men were planning to go shooting today, but some of them dropping out. How many folks were planning? Are they still going shooting, the guys? Are you going afterwards?
Yeah.
Who's going? Voices and Duran? A couple of folks have ducked out on you, but you're going to be going today after set about 1:15, right? If anyone wants to join to go shooting, they're going to have a lot of fun. They're going to Okeechobee, the OK Corral. Have you heard of the OK Corral? Wyatt Earp. Bruce has got a shotgun, he was telling me. He bought it from his grandfather. It's an 1897 Winchester 12-gauge shotgun. I said, will he put me in his will and will that to me? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Are we finished, ushers? Thank you, Ray. Bow your head for a moment. Church, would you, as our closing prayer this morning? While your head is bowed, while our eyes are closed, we never ever like to end this service without giving people the opportunity of making sure that all is right, all is well between them and God. Listen to me, dear friend. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, if you were to die today, and you say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I'm not sure what would happen to me. I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, are you sure what would happen to you if you died today? Because the good news is you can be sure. You can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed is forgiven. You can know, you can be sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. I want to make sure all is right with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want God's blessing on my life. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly, just lift your hand up right now. Just shoot your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. Bless you. Alright, I don't see anybody. Did you panic? No? Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them you're going to have a great week this week. Lacey's going to chase after you this week. Say, I hope to see you on Sunday again. Tell them, bring someone with you next week, okay? Bring somebody with you. Bring someone with you. See you at ladies' night. God bless you. We love you all. We will see you next Sunday, everybody.